Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode 105, though we have had one in between.
Yep.
I'm just calling that the road show.
Okay.
Audio version's out. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. 105 today, Bruce Bochy.
I've heard of him.
I've heard of him, too.
Yeah.
He did something pretty cool last year.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay, Bruce Bochy is going to join us, but we got a few housekeeping things to go through because the Rangers, man, they are cutting big deals left and right.
Huge deal.
The last 24 hours. But, you know, hey, little kudos. You brought up David Robertson a couple weeks ago. He wasn't on my radar because, I always go for the big name. You know, I start going for, Josh Hader. I mean, all the big ones. And you said Dave Robertson, who, by the way, the numbers look good. I mean, he saved 18 games last year.
Right.
Numbers weren't quite as good with Miami as they were with the Mets, but he wasn't there as long. So, you know, one outing where you give up, you know, you get hit around a little bit, you don't have time to bring it back down.
Yeah, no, he's just a veteran arm.
That slider of his is crazy.
Yeah, throws a lot of strikes. It, you know, like you said, has the stuff that he needs for a one-inning outing. Pedigree, he's pitched in big moments. The Rangers liked him at the trade deadline. And you know, he was with the Mets at the time, and I don't know if there was ever a thought of a Scherzer Robertson deal, but there was definite interest there, and I know that the pitching coach likes him a lot too. So it's just another signing that adds depth, season depth. You know, you have Kirby Yates, who saved 41 games in 2019, who's a veteran guy. You have two guys, and Jose Leclerc and Josh Spores, who've now been through a World Series and really pitched exceptionally well. So this bullpen is starting to look pretty good. Aroldis Chapman went to the Pirates earlier in the week, so that reunion isn't coming back. But similar deals: 1 year, 10.5 for Chapman, and then somewhere in the 11 to 12 range for Robertson. So I guess that's the going rate. You know, I had one guy on Twitter said, how is this a good deal? It's $11 million for a 39-year-old reliever. First of all, one-year deals, teams absolutely love one-year deals. You know, there's not a GM out there that doesn't like a one-year deal. 39, he's still producing.
Yes, it was last year too.
Yeah, and so I don't know that
– he was the Mets closer.
Yeah, Edwin Diaz got hurt, and so they needed somebody, and it was Robertson, and the Mets weren't very good, but Robertson did well when the opportunities he had. And again, what wins in the postseason? You know, guys who've been there and know how to do it, and I just think that he's got a real good chance to impact the club in a positive way. So there was another deal that just happened.
When you walked in, you said, I didn't see it. This is huge.
It's huge-ish.
Talked to him the other day. Yeah, so that's why I'm sitting there talking to him.
JP Martinez has been traded to the Braves for a minor league pitcher by the name
of 40-man spot.
Tyler Owens clears up a 40-man spot without the Rangers having to designate anybody for assignment to get Robertson on there. There are guys that the Rangers could DFA, but they went this route, and good for JP. He's going to another contender. You know, he's a talented guy.
He is.
I know he's older, and and had some struggles when he first came from Cuba, but he's a good person.
Got a little pop in the bag.
I thought he had a chance to make this team. My initial thought, though, was, well, they're getting rid of outfielders to make room for Wyatt Langford. And maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe that's just a dramatic step. But Tyler Owens, real quick, he's right-handed, middle reliever type, 94 to 98 on the fastball, good slider and cutter. He's not a big guy. He's 5'10". He was drafted out of high school. He's only 23.
How far has he gotten up? Has he got to
double A?
He
pitched in double A last year.
Okay.
And that's in Jackson for, they call themselves Mississippi, but it's in Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
Their ballpark's right by an outlet mall. And anyway, more depth, another arm. You know, the more arms, the better. Obviously, you know, he's under club control for however long they want to keep him. So,
if he produces, I mean, he is. Since he hasn't been to the big leagues yet, he's got all his options. Hey, to get something for JP is great, and maybe JP goes over there and becomes a fourth outfielder. Who knows what he is, but maybe. He has a chance to make their big league
team. Yeah, the Braves have gotten a lot of outfielders this offseason, but, you know, what a situation to be going to a place where they want to, you know, so many games last year, the most in the majors, I think, and then Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, you know, they like to run, and you know, I think JP likes to run, so... Anyway, we'll see what happens with him,
you were out in Frisco. We were out in Frisco at the Fan Fest.
Yeah,
and JP was there and spoke good English. I talked to him for a second. He really was speaking some good English.
No, that's. I wrote about this in the Thursday newsletter about players who it was in regard to Adrian Beltre saying that his English is terrible, and these guys who come from Latin America, even Asia. I mentioned Chu in it too. Who come here and learn our language, and then get up in front of people and
talk. Yeah,
it's so commendable and it's really admirable. I mean, I know a little Spanish, but not enough, you know. And you know, I've said this before. If I knew Spanish, I'd be I'd be better off for it, and not just my job, but in any walk, you know, just regular life. But
it really is.
It's really. And you know, even the guys who don't speak it, they understand it.
Right.
Or they would rather use an interpreter to make sure that nothing gets lost in translation, and that's fine too. I get it. When the microphones are off, they'll speak a little English.
Sure.
Adolis Garcia started to come around last year. Jose Leclerc's been fantastic for 4 or 5 years now. JP, he speaks English well. Does a lot of things well. Mature guy, family guy, lived in the Metroplex. That's why he was at so many caravan stops. So, good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck. We always wish those. Bubba, I saw Bubba got picked up.
Yet again.
I'm always pulling for Bubba. This Twins now, right? Like I said, I'll pull for that guy wherever he goes. Just one of the nicest guys.
I think this is his fourth team of the offseason.
Yeah, of the offseason.
He's one of those guys that's good enough, but if they need a roster spot, he's not good enough. So. Right. Anyway, hope he sticks wherever he goes. He deserves it. He's got a elite skill, and that's running. If he can ever get the bat to the ball more consistently, he's a good little player. So,
All right.
Anyway,
Okay, what you got?
I don't know. There's just nothing else going on. Really.
Well,
other than Adrian Beltre,
Hall of Fame,
going to the Hall of Fame.
That's fantastic. I mean, you were out there to talk to him the other day. Are you going to go in June or July?
July 21st. plans are for Rangers today to be there.
I might try to go. Kathy even brought something up. I said, maybe we'll swing out there.
It's nice.
I've never been to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
So for me, it would be a vacation trip also. Get in there and get a few interviews.
Yeah, induction day is a pain in the ass just because there's a big crowd in a small area. So. For Pudge, there was a lot going on for the Pudge thing because that was the day that Adrian also got his 3,000th hit.
Right.
Basically at the same time that Pudge was talking. And then also everybody thought that Yu Darvish was about to be traded, and he was the next day.
Right.
Wow. Yeah,
that was a lot going on.
Anyway, we watched it. We were in the media center during the speech. You know, it's crowded and just – was where I would have rather been.
He's so humble about it. Somebody asked him about only getting 98% or 99% or whatever it was.
95.1.
And he was like, are you kidding me? He's like, no, I don't care. He goes, when you're looking at someone like Ken Griffey Jr. who doesn't even get 100%, who he thinks is so much better than he was, he's like, to be even in the 90s, he was happy about it. So congratulations to Adrian Beltre. You knew Adrian Beltre. Tell me what was he like? So as somebody that right now deals with guys in these clubhouses, what was Adrian like?
Well, in the clubhouse, he was really serious. he would goof around a little bit, but he had a routine and he stuck to it.
He was a Seager Simeon guy.
He was in the clubhouse more than Seager. different clubhouse, different amenities, different ballpark at the time. But you could get him if you needed to. But he really would rather have not talked to you just because he was in the middle of getting ready.
Right.
He understood the times when he had to, like when he was hurt, coming back from something, or after a game, he knew if he'd had a good game that we'd want to talk to him. He was never standoffish or anything like that. If he told you he didn't have time, he would say, I don't have time. Can we do this later?
Yeah.
always very nice. It was better to get him on the road because they have more time before batting practice. He'd have his son around, AJ, who's going to go to the University of Washington on a baseball scholarship. That's how old he's gotten. I'm telling you, Adrian did not take it easy on AJ during batting practice. They'd go out early, and Adrian was throwing smoke, man. I mean, AJ was at the time probably 11 or 12, and
I've seen some video of it too.
Adrian was giving it to him, but he did well, he loved his family. It was neat. I wasn't there. I was in Cooperstown, but we all saw the 3,000th hit and how the family came running out to him, and all of that stuff. And, 3,000 hits used to be such a big deal, but I think only Pujols has gone over 3,000 since. It seems like it's
not going to be a criteria anymore.
I mean, it just seems a little bit rarer. What 3,000 hits indicates is you've been around a long time. You've been a productive player
for a long time.
Very clearly, I think the 500 home run thing is losing its luster, but 3,000 hits is a big deal. And Adrian did not get to 500 homers.
He's 477,
636 doubles. The guy produced. He got a lot better with the Rangers.
Oh, and his defense though.
His defense, obviously, very good. And he only has 5 gold gloves. At the time when he was in the National League, there were some really good third basemen, including Scott Rolen, who went to the Hall of Fame last year. So it was a tight competition to get the gold glove, but he came here and really took off, won some platinum gloves as the best defender in all of baseball. He did that twice.
Here?
Here. And it was just really... he became a Hall of Famer of the Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, look, he was amazing. He looked like he was always, I think what Ranger fans were endeared to him was not only did he produce, but on the field, he looked like he was having a blast.
Yeah.
He just looked like he was like, I'm getting paid to do this. This is great. And I loved, as a guy that played some baseball, I loved how he didn't field and throw a ball traditionally how most people are taught.
Yeah.
He would catch the ball, plant his feet, just use his arm and whip about a 95-mile-an-hour fastball across the field.
That's something he learned. He said he learned to do. I mean, he's always had a strong arm, but it was wild when he was younger, and he had to find a way to accurately deliver the ball and
planting his feet and not.
Yeah. That was just the way he did it. And of course, he's. I think a lot of people will remember how he charged the bunts and the little infield dinkers and barehanded and threw while he was diving to the ground.
Yep.
Those are the cool looking plays. I've written this a couple times. He was unbelievable on pop-ups.
Yeah.
And that sounds weird to say, but there was one day in spring training where the sky is high and it's super bright, and it was a sunny day on the backfields, and they were just spinning pop-ups into the
little machine.
And some of these balls, like, would, nobody could see.
Yeah, they would disappear up there.
And he would just stay there. He knew where they were going to go. And he just fought it and fought it and fought it until he could see it. And then, I mean, he made a couple where he was on his knees as the ball's about to hit the ground. And it was just fun to watch. And the best play I've ever seen him made, and I think I've said this also.
You said this last week or something.
Yeah. It was a pop-up. It wasn't really a pop-up. That's what it goes down as in the
but it was a dink.
In the scorebook. And it wasn't a line drive. It wasn't a flare. I guess it was a flare. It was like a hard flare. Anyway, he's playing third base. Eric Hinsky was the batter. Colby Lewis was the pitcher. And we're at Atlanta. And all of a sudden, you know, this ball was not going to get caught. There's this nobody thought he was going to catch it. Nelson Cruz is in left field. He was not going to catch it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you just see Beltre in a sprint, just running down the third base left field line. And at the very end, he reaches out his glove and he catches it. And I guess it was this glove,
yeah,
left hand. It was just amazing. And Cruz came over and they said something to each other. And I think Nelson might have said, "How did you catch that?" Because Adrian had a smile and he's like, "I," That was the play. Of all the plays he made, that's the one that stands out to me and the one that's like
someone
sold me that he's great. Somebody found the video.
And put it up on Twitter.
I'm going to make sure that Joel has it so maybe we can mix it in here. But, man.
That was awesome.
It was really, really good. He's great. And, you know, all the bad-mouthing he says about himself, like, I don't know. I'm along with these guys. He does.
Yeah.
He really does.
Okay. Well, we've got Bochy coming up in a little bit, but I want to touch on a couple things before we get to Bochy.
Okay.
First of all, we had a live show.
We did have a live show.
Hop and Sting. Big thanks to Hop and Sting. How cool.
Yeah, it was great.
And then credit to you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are going to get credit twice today for a couple of things that have happened to us. But first of all, Hop and Sting. I talked to Andy that was the GM out there. I talked to Matt Hicks. We were trying to figure out how many. We're thinking 150 to 200.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
It is.
And we had a lot of people that had never heard of our show, but saw that these guys were going to be there. Obviously, the draw is not me. The draw is going to be...
Me, yeah.
Yeah, it's you. It's you, and it's going to be those players. But they came out. I had so many people. And here's where I want to take my hat off to some people. Josh Spores, Mike Maddox, Matt Hicks, and Derek Holland stood around after this thing was over.
Yeah.
And talked to everybody, took photos. We tried to limit them to one autograph per person because we were just being respectful. Don't inundate these guys. There were a lot of people.
Yeah, don't give us any crap for that. All right.
Jason Hicks a little crap.
I know some of you guys are out there and I respect this. You're hustling, you're trying to get autographs. That's what you do for a living. But these guys were here on their own time. They were not compensated. I did buy them all some beers.
Yep, they did.
But, basically they came on their own time and,
Philip were helping us out and they got a little crap.
I'm not going to say the players don't enjoy signing autographs because they do. I mean, obviously the way they hung around and talked to the people who were there indicates, you know, they appreciate the fans. They understand how important the fans are, but also, you know, let's not crush them with tons and tons of autographs. So, that's why we limited it, and if you're mad at us, well, I understand, but I hope you understand our perspective too. But aside from that,
we want them to come back and do this more.
Exactly. You know, we don't want, and we don't need the word getting out. Oh God, you know, we did it, but Jesus, we had to sign 12 autographs for this one guy and 18 for this one guy.
Yeah, he brought a dozen baseballs.
That's not how it works. But
no.
We're getting away from the point. The point is, it was a great turnout. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
The guys had a good time who came out.
Hop and Sting has already reached out to us.
Hop and Sting wants us back.
And just praised us and said thank you so much for doing that.
The Vaquero's Barbecue, I think, had a good night at the food truck. Pretty good. Pretty good food.
Did you have any of those? Did you?
I had bits some and pieces of, your kids, of my wife and my kids and.
Yeah, it was good.
But we do want to do more live shows.
We do.
And I think we can say that Hop and Sing is going to be our home base, but we'll probably float around a little bit too, depending on the venue
and also the time of year. And depending on the time of year during the season, it's going to be really tough to get a player to come to one of those.
Right, right.
Their schedule move, and there will be off days. And on an off day in a 162 game season, they may not want to come.
They're not going
to
come. Yeah,
and that's just the reality of it. But we will get some front office people or some minor league players.
Sure,
minor league players love to come do that. They like to get a free meal.
They're off Mondays, so you know. If they're home, maybe they can come down and we'll figure it out.
But we will.
This whole thing is a work in progress. Is your idea? You wanted to do it a long time ago, and we finally got it done. You know, and it worked out. You know, Brian Estridge, who is the voice of the Frogs,
TCU Frogs,
a very good friend of mine. He came because he lives nearby, and he said it was a great turnout. He said stuff like that does not happen at every remote show. That, you know, there are a lot of times when nobody shows up.
Yep.
So we will definitely take.
But when you when you have names there, it's going to help. And my name was there, and so that's
right. That's right.
No, but those guys, and hats off, man, Mike, all of you guys, Mike, Derek, you stood around, you took pictures with everybody.
Josh Spores was the last guy to leave.
To leave, and was so great. And I am going to give a shout out.
I mean, I was the last guy to leave.
Yeah,
but Josh legitimately stayed and was talking to people.
Yes.
Until about a minute before I left. And so he really seemed to enjoy it. And
he had a good time. And you know what? That's being gracious of your situation.
Yeah.
And knowing that these fans are the reason you get paid. The money you get paid is because they're loyal. And he was just all grins, all smiles, had a great time. Jason and Philip, thank you guys. We commandeered them a little bit just to kind of help keep things in order. They did a great job for us.
Yeah.
That was great. Now the other big news. It's official. Signed it yesterday, day before.
Yeah.
Look, we got approached about this. You got the initial email.
Yes.
Because let's be honest, Jeff's the boss. But he got the initial email. He contacts me. Odyssey Sports, which is they own 105.3 The Fan.
They do. Yes.
They're part of that. Reached out. They had done some homework about some podcast.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I've said this. I was telling Grubbs this last night. Michael Gruber, by the way, who texted me and said congrats when we made the announcement yesterday. He goes, it's awesome. But I said, you know, this doesn't happen in a World Series year. This doesn't happen. World Series opened people's eyes to what's going on in that market.
Yeah, if the Rangers had lost 100 games, I think
I think Odyssey's not bugging us.
I think that we'd still be scrapping along here like we do. But hey, you know, we do have a good product though.
Yes,
you know,
we have
our podcast. I don't tout myself or the work that gets done at Rangers Today or on the podcast a lot, but we're really good. We have very good guests. We have you know, deep knowledge between myself and especially TR. That's on the website.
Absolutely,
you keep up with things, and hopefully we make people laugh on occasion. And
you know what a great mix is? Is I come from a fan perspective, so the people hear from me as I was them. I was the fan. I'm blessed. I got some access through some stuff I used to do. Then you and I hooked up and became friends, and we did this. I don't have to be a reporter. I get to say, this is what fans are going to ask, because this is what I want to know.
Yeah.
And you go to you, who knows all this stuff on the inside. You knew Dave Robertson was somebody that they were targeting during the trade deadline last year.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You brought it up during what you wrote today about Robertson. That's what makes it great. Odyssey comes to us with this. And, you know, look, thanks to the Dub Network, thanks to a couple of those that do that, but they're going to take over. They're going to sell all of the advertising. They're going to do some promos with us. It's going to be part of that 105.3 The Fan group as far as where you get your podcasts on the shows that are taped.
Yeah, we're not going to have a show on
105.3 No, we are not on 105.3 The Fan. That's what, to clarify that up, but all of their shows go onto the Odyssey app. And they have videos of them and audio of them, and there's advertising on them, and they wanted a Texas Rangers show.
Yeah, yeah, they're in the other, I think what was he say, 13 other markets with two apiece in Chicago and New York. So they, you know, I don't know if it's westward expansion, you know, Horace Greeley and all that jazz, but this is it's a world championship team. that's going to be good for a while.
For a while.
And people are going to be talking about, and they needed a podcast that can bring guests, can bring information. And I think we've been doing that now for 2.5 years. So we're excited. You know, I mean, any ad revenue is gravy. You know, I am terrible at selling stuff. I don't want to do it. It makes me uncomfortable. And we fought at our past stops that we had people who would do it for us, and things fell through. That's fine. If there's an opportunity to monetize this a little bit, I'm all for it.
Sure.
And if I don't have to do it, I'm even more for it. So yeah, let's see where it takes us. But it's a 2-year contract, so it's not like we're going to be homeless here for a while.
No, unless, we're not. And,
you know, there is a clause in the contract though where we can't do anything like get arrested or, you know,
this is really
do anything terrible.
This is really putting a damp on my social life. The fact that I cannot
get in trouble. Don't embarrass us.
don't embarrass us.
So anyway, yeah.
But so for the changes you may see us sitting here all of a sudden reading a little ad copy.
This
segment brought to you. Too. And that, you know what? We're happy to do it, ecstatic to do it. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I will hawk anything. That if somebody wants to put money behind us, I'm happy to do it. And people that are going to do that are going to be people we're going to love anyway. It's going to be those kind of advertisers.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything I wouldn't advertise. I probably wouldn't advertise. I'd probably try to stay apolitical unless it's somebody I really liked.
You can't get into the politics of things.
We don't want to piss anybody off. I think Derek Holland did that with one of his the appearance he made where he
he made, his comments were about
that. He's right wing and he was anti-mask, and hey, I don't think anybody wants to wear a mask. And you know, if you follow the news, if you follow both sides in the news, there have been a lot of indications that they were just making stuff up, you know. Dr. Fauci, love him or hate him, admitted in congressional testimony that they just made up the 6-foot distance rule. They didn't know what they were doing. It was a tough situation.
It was a tough situation, and they're trying to protect people.
We're talking too much about politics.
Yeah, so
no politics for me.
Me neither.
I don't really want to do cigarettes. I don't think,
no. You
that's
don't
not,
smoke.
That's not legal anyway.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I don't think you can advertise tobacco.
I think going back
to my NASCAR days, that's why. Winston, it's no longer the Winston Cup because they couldn't do cigarettes anymore. So
we're gonna have patches all over our shirts now.
CBD, I'd probably do CBD. I've used CBD before on my joints. The roll-on stuff, I've never ingested it.
Can you imagine rattling off the sponsors? We're gonna look like NASCAR.
Alcohol, though. I'm all for alcohol.
Sure.
I don't know about guns. Maybe.
I am. I like guns.
I don't have a gun.
I hunt.
My wife is anti-gun.
Okay. Well, I'm a hunter. Then I'll do that copy if we need to because I hunt. And
I mean, I'd be okay with it, but
I'm not for buying.
I got to keep the wife happy.
That's on both sides.
I don't think we would ever have to advertise any newspapers.
No.
Because they don't have any advertising money to begin with, but
they're obviously not going to do anything like porn or anything like that. That's going to be out the window.
No porn.
I wouldn't do that one either. You neither. So not going to do that. But I think look at 105.3 The Fan and what they have on there now, and the advertisers, and those people are geared towards sports. Those are companies that are geared towards sports. Hopefully, we get a piece of that and we get to run some copy on it. But it's an exciting. And let me tell you what. Again, none of this happens without you guys. You don't have the numbers we're able to show them that we're getting.
Yeah. We didn't show these guys numbers, though.
They went in and you know what? They went in and looked at the – I think they saw our guest. That's on you.
Well,
that's on you. I used to get a couple of – but, man, we have had – when your very first show together is John Daniels, I knew then that this was a little different story.
Yeah.
But,
well, we're about to have another good guest.
Yeah, he's the manager.
About to have the manager of the world champs.
That's right. Guys, so we're going to get out of here on that. Thank you again to Odyssey. We're looking forward. We're onboarding next week to get going, so that's going to be coming up pretty soon. We're excited about the new deal and happy to announce it. Thank you again to Hop and Sting for doing the deal. We are coming back in just a second with Bruce Bochy, so let's do that, and then we'll wrap the thing up.
Yeah, we're going to go down on the farm, though, too, real quick.
Okay, real quick. Let's do it.
No. After Bruce.
After Bruce. Okay, we'll go down on the farm with Bruce right after that. All right, guys, that's it. Bruce Bochy next. All right, and joining us right now from his office out at Globe Life Field, and this will never get old saying, this is the manager of the World Series champion Texas Rangers, Bruce Bochy. Boch, what's going on, sir? Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, in Texas here for Fan Fest, this is always an exciting time of year. I mean, we get to see our fans. We get to see each other before we go to spring training. It's kind of the trigger. It's time to get ready for a new year. So it's, you know, really exciting time right now.
I mean, spring training starts in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Less than 3 weeks, right about 3 weeks. It's crazy.
It is. It's gone fast. And I tell you what, I'm good with short off seasons, though. But so it's all been good. And, you know, I've talked to a few players here today. I'm at the ballpark right now. They're pumped. They're, you know, ready to go, excited. Just finished talking to Josh Jung. He looks great. So I'll be connecting with all of them here.
You know, you talk about the excitement that the players have, and I know you live elsewhere in the off season, and I tell you what, ever since that World Series, I can't go anywhere without seeing a Rangers championship T-shirt or hat or hoodie. I mean, it's incredible what you guys did for the area. Are you seeing the similar stuff?
I am. It's funny you mention that. I told CY yesterday. I flew in from Nashville. I said it's pretty cool to see. I saw more than four or five Ranger hats, and I saw some T-shirts on the plane. I came in December for a few days, and similar. So it's good to see a lot of our merchandise being worn right now. That's that makes you feel good. It does, because you know, one thing we wanted to do is bring pride back to the fans, and so you see that. It's pretty cool. Last night I was in a restaurant. A lot of people came up to me just saying congrats and thanks and those type things. So you realize that it impacted a lot of people, and that's what makes it so special.
Yeah, you know,
we're good. Sorry about that.
You haven't. I know you gladly sacrificed the month to win the championship, but has it? It seems like it wasn't that long ago. At least to me, does it seem like it was just yesterday to you?
Oh, I'm with you. No, it just seems like yesterday where we had thousands people there flooding the streets here. It was such a cool moment that it's surreal. It's almost unreal that it happened. And then now we're going to spring training. It's like, wow, what happened? This thing shot by, but like they say, when you're having fun, you know, time flies. And but you know, the time I came here in December, I mean, it was crazy. You know, I had to go to the gift shop and pick up a lot of stuff for my friends that they asked for. So I loaded up boxes to take back. So I live just south of Nashville in College Grove, and there's a lot of people there wearing Ranger stuff right now.
Well, that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, the Arlington East. That's what we'll start calling. But you, I mean, you have had to do some work. It hasn't just been fishing and golf and drinking Buffalo Trace
and Papa Time.
That's right, and Papa Time. But kind of a slow off season, unusually slow, I think. But David Robertson, the addition last night. What do you think about the moves that have been made and where things stand with the Rangers going into spring training?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a big sign for us, you know, to get Robertson, another high leverage reliever. You know, Yates we'd signed earlier. As we all know, that was our biggest challenge last year was the bullpen. And now we lost Will Smith and Stratton. They signed with the Royals. So we needed some experienced guys down there to help out. And so now, you know, go along with Jose Leclerc and Sporzy. We've got two veterans that had a great year, I think, last year. And, you know, they just give us guys that we're comfortable with. I think Johnny Hernandez, he's going to be back on track this year. So he'll be a big part of it, too. And I don't want to leave anybody out. But that's the one area we wanted to, you know, to strengthen. So I thought, I thought that was huge, you know, for him to go out and sign Robertson. You look at, well, it's quiet, but you look at our club. I mean, wasn't a lot of room to, you know, to go out and sign guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
when you're looking at, you know, behind the plate in the infield and outfield, yeah, we lost Mitch Garber, but we got some good candidates internally. What we covered there, the pitching, we have a solid rotation right now. Obviously, some guys that we'll be counting on won't be ready till a little bit later. So I think we're going to camp in good shape right now. But I can tell you this, C. White's continuing to look at any way he can to improve this ball club.
There's a left-hander out there who remains unsigned. He might be able to help the rotation. Not going to ask you what you know about that, but
good, because I don't know anything about it.
Oh, good.
You know, I'm being honest. You know, we all know he's a free agent, and those are, things that I don't have a lot of say in. I said that wrong. That, that's, what CY in front office and ownership, because anytime you're looking at a guy, as good as Jordan Montgomery, it's obviously a huge commitment. And so that's kind of where that's at.
Yeah. Well, when you got hired, you said pitching and defense is what wins you games. And his contribution, Evaldi, and then, Leclerc and Spores, it's amazing. But your guys' defense was so good last year.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't, there were spectacular plays like Leody taking some home runs away and Jankowski going into the bullpen almost. But the routine play is so important. I mean, that's the emphasis, right? Make the play you have to make.
I'm with you on that, Jeff. I tell you, it's what we talk about. It's a big part of the philosophy here. When I came in here, was dominate the fundamentals. It's my philosophy. Pitching defense is what wins games for you over the long haul. Sure, the offense is great. We have a tremendous offensive club to help make up, for any mistakes I made. But you got to catch the ball. They go hand in hand. And I couldn't be prouder of these guys, how well they focused on their defense. You go out there. I mean, every day you saw guys out there taking their ground balls. I mean, Marcus is relentless, and you look at Nate Lowe wins a Gold Glove, and here's a guy that year before that was what he needed to improve on. Well, he worked his tail off from 7 in the morning spring training, and then he brings a Gold Glove. So incredible. How much he improved. But the outfield, we had an unbelievable defense there, with Garcia, of course, Jankowski, and Leo, as you mentioned. But even left field, whoever we put out there, they all did such a terrific job. And that's what I think helped win us a championship.
For sure. And then the 21-year-old didn't hurt. He can play some defense.
The great thing about him is, how well he played out there in left field. Because, the one game in Baltimore, you said, well, it doesn't look comfortable. But those were the seats. He had trouble seeing the ball. But I tell you, it shows you what a good, great athlete he is, because he played more center than anywhere. And I think left field could be the toughest position to play. And really made big strides, I thought, in the short time he was here.
Well, I mean, he made a huge play against the Astros going into that Bermuda Triangle there in left.
Oh, my goodness, what a play.
Yeah, catching the ball. But
the crowd yelling, that little corner.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that was just incredible what he did to make that play.
Well, and then you
said when he hit the ball, I thought the ball was off the wall or out.
Yeah. And then, you thought, he makes the catch, and then everybody in the infield, everybody in the dugout pointed to second base with, they saw what Altuve didn't do correctly. I mean, huge double play.
Exactly.
Big part of, the one thing I've enjoyed doing this offseason, Bruce, is going back and watching the games as they randomly appear on MLB Network, and just all the big contributions from guys. I mean, obviously,
up and down the roster.
Obviously, Evan made the, we're talking about Evan, who was all over the place. But, Cody Bradford, who was our guest last week, That game against Baltimore in the division series, he was huge for you guys. There's just little things like that that you forget that it all adds up to these guys.
Jankowski, who stepped up the last couple games of the World Series.
John Gray in relief. Yeah. Just all these things. It was comes together. It's not easy, but it's kind of
right. In fact, I did a little thing last night. That was the question: who was the unsung hero? I said, well, that's hard to pick one guy because we had so many that came through in such a huge way. All the names you just mentioned. I mean, you look at Duran, what he did during the season. I mean, we lost Seager, and he goes out. He not just hits, but he played incredible shortstop. He hadn't played that much short. He goes out there and just deals out there like he's been there his whole life. But as you mentioned, Jankowski, I mean, we lost when losing Garcia, you go, oh, my goodness, what a blow that is. First game, he goes out there and helps us win that game. So it was not Dunning, what he did. From the season, losing to Grom, Dunning steps in and incredible numbers. It was nonstop. So it's hard to pick one guy, I'll say. But obviously you have to look at Carter late in the year as we were looking for a little shot in the arm and certainly provided that with his offense and his defense.
Another young guy who is going to be talked about, has been talked about, is going to be talked about until something happens with him in spring training is Wyatt Langford. Have you been able to look deeper into Wyatt and it looks like he's going to get a shot to make the roster.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I just finished talking to him. We had a little meeting here, with a few other guys, but I had a chance to sit down and meet with him, and I think he knows the situation, and we're open-minded on what we do. I think it's fair to say that we don't hold anybody back. You look, we brought up Carter. You can't ignore what the guy did last year. It's just incredible. So we'll look at what we think is best this spring. Trust me, he'll get plenty of at-bats, and so it's going to be it's going to be fun to see how this ends up as far as who breaks camp with us, where, who's playing. We got to fill a DH role, with Garber leaving us. So, right now it could be done internally. So we have some options there.
Before I let John ask some goofy questions, you saw Adrian Beltre early in his career while you were with the Padres and he was with the Dodgers. What are your thoughts about Adrian? And he was with you guys and some in the postseason too.
Right. I mean, just incredible athlete. He's so agile. He just, some of the plays he made at third base, I'm going to start with that. That's what was, initially so impressive. I mean, that was a pretty good hitter at that time, but really when he came with the Rangers, he just got better. You couldn't get a ball by him. He had such a great arm. He reminded me of Caminiti, diving all over the place, throwing from his knees, things like that. And he goes to Seattle and finally ends up here and just put up incredible numbers here offensively. So I think you have to look at him as one of the best third basemans ever. That's how good he is on both sides of the ball. But, then you look at, the intangibles on this guy and how well he was like and what a leader he was. I never had him on the team, but you could see it. And I heard about it. And, he played hurt. He did anything he could. So well-deserved. I need to get a hold of him. That's awesome. He's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, we all knew it, but it's still that's great news, for the Ranger family.
All right. John's got a couple of questions.
Yeah, I think do the goofy fun stuff.
He wants to dive into the family.
Oh, yeah, I always love that, man. I'm close enough to being a grandfather. I've got buddies that are grandparents. I've got a daughter that's 26. She hasn't found her guy yet. But all my grandparent buddies that I grew up with, they tell me if I'd have known being a grandparent was this much fun, I'd have done it first. So, hey, what's the count now? I always thought you had just the grandson. You have a granddaughter, too. How many you have right now?
I have three. I have two granddaughters. My grandson, he's got a younger sister. Her name is Maddox.
Okay.
My grandson turned 6 yesterday.
Ooh.
And Maddox turns 4 in about 3 weeks. And then I have another one, Blakely, who lives in San Diego, and she's 5 right now. So, yeah, I have 3, and like you said, they're the best. And 2 of them live about maybe a mile from me in the same community.
Right.
They're on, Braxton's almost old enough to ride his bike to see Mimi. That's what my wife is called. So that was her dream, to be, you know, close enough where they could ride their bikes and see her. So just a joy. You know, every day, it's just so entertaining. It keeps me busy. I tell you, it's now his big thing is this FaceTiming thing. You know, he's always call me up. You know, he's in school, but when he's out of school, he's always FaceTiming me when he gets bored.
You guys got any like traditions? You get in the pickup truck and drive around the property or go get ice cream, or, you know, I know that grandparents, there aren't many rules with grandkids. I mean, they kind of get to do what they want to do. But he, you know, this year, he was big enough this year, he got to really kind of enjoy this playoff run. You said when you won it with the Giants, he was a baby. He got on the field and didn't really know. And was it Maddox now? Is she the one that you made that famous comment at the parade where she said, "Papa, let's do that again." And you said,
"Yeah,
absolutely, let's do that again. That'd be fun." Is that Maddox?
Yeah, that was Maddox. We call her Maddie. And yeah, the truck stopped when the parade was over. She wanted to do that again. She loved it. She's into I can't think of the name of the movie, but the Queen, the Princess, and the waving and all that. She just thought that was the best thing. And yeah, that was kind of funny. She said, "Let's do that again." I said, "Man, I'm all for that, Maddie." Yeah,
absolutely.
But, yeah, you know, we actually in our neighborhood we all have golf carts. So, you know, we get in a golf cart. And there's a, you know, it's called a bridge bar, but it's got a place for the kids to, as you said, get hot dogs or ice cream, things like that. We ride around, and they have parks there, and so it's that they're the best. And I can't say enough about you know how much joy they brought to my wife and I.
Well, that's fantastic, and it's great they're old enough now to really get to watch Papa at work and what his life was. And remember, this is the age now, 5, 6, where you can kind of remember things and do all of that. So that's really fun. I mean, that's really it for me. I know you got some good, I'm assuming Christmas and the holidays was back in Nashville with the family. Everybody was around there.
Yeah. Most of my family's there now. I have some family here. My brother lives here. So I came here in December for a little bit. And as I said, it was so cool to see all the people's wearing Ranger gear and just coming up to you and again saying congrats, thanks, and all that. But yeah, I know it's all been good on the holidays. I got to tell you a quick story. It was just the other day. I told Braxton, I said, "Well, I'm going to Texas. We have what we call a fan fest to get ready for spring training." He goes, "Are you going to work with the Rangers again?" I said, "Well, unless you know something I don't know." So he was all excited. He kind of, it's funny, you know, I guess he kind of forgot about it for a little bit there. And then he, now he realizes, yeah, I got to go back to spring training, which you're coming out for a week. You know, sure. They get spring break. So he'll be out there. He's all, you know, he wasn't even in baseball into it. I mean, he'd come over, "Papa, we fishing or yeah. You know, are we hiking?" Now it's all baseball. Wants to play catch. And so, you know, getting back in it has, I think, caused him to just develop a love or passion for the game. And that's, now he wears me out with wanting to play catch all the time.
How's your arm holding up?
Not good. You know? the wing's barking a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, we're going to get you back. You got a fun weekend with FanFest. You got anything else for him?
No. I guess we'll see you tonight or tomorrow or both.
I got to do a wedding, so I won't see you.
It's been a great off season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it has been. Yeah, it's going to be good to see you know, a lot of fans here and all the guys, everything like that. Like I said, this is always a fun time of year. And I tell you what, this is, it's been some kind of ride. I'll say that. And Even, you know, when I'm not here and I see friends or family, they're all wearing Ranger stuff that they bought on their own. So it's been cool.
Awesome.
Well, and as a guy that was a Ranger fan growing up here before I got into the media, I can tell you that fans like me that went to games in 74, 75 as a kid, it's a big deal. I mean, you hapless Rangers we followed all those years, and now they finally did it. 2010 and 11 was great. It was fantastic. We didn't quite get to the end, but it's been fantastic. But you know what? You got to tell Maddox that Rangers Today says, let's do it again. We enjoyed it too. Let's do it again. Bruce, we're going to get you out of here. Thanks so much for stopping down. I know your schedule's busy, especially getting ready for spring training. But we really appreciate you sitting down with us.
Oh, man, it's been fun. Thanks, guys. Good talking with you.
All right, we'll see you later. That's Bruce Bochy, manager of the world champion Texas Rangers. Guys, after this, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. All right, a big thanks to Bruce Bochy for joining us right there. That was awesome. He's in town for FanFest this weekend. It's going to be fun. Let's do go down to the bus leagues real quick. We'll wrap this thing up with that.
Yeah.
What did you want to talk about? We've got...
Well, you know, the Rangers had a...
They had their list come out.
Yeah, they've had some lists. They had a pitching and hitting
camp in
Arizona last week. Mike Maddox went from our live show to Arizona. That's why Ross Fenstermaker couldn't come. They have a bunch of young guys in town this week.
I saw him at the Stars game last night.
Yeah, for a leadership deal that they've done in the past. And then, they've had some prospects rankings come out. MLB Pipeline comes out with theirs tonight. Top 100. They're going to do it live and on the
MLB.com.
Baseball America did their lists, and the Rangers had three in the top 100. Including two in the top five.
Right.
Four, Evan Carter. Five, Wyatt Langford. 54, Sebastian Walcott. You know, I think we're going to see Evan, obviously. I think Wyatt, I know I thought he would start in the minors. I still think that's a possibility, but I'm starting to warm to the idea of him making the team out of spring training.
Well, we talked about that on the live show.
And there's the draft pick involved, but I just think he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that, and then the Baseball America released their top 30 list for every team, and the Rangers, there are a couple interesting ones. The top 10 had already been released. Paulino Santana, who is
the new one
from the international class, checks in at number 11 from Baseball America. Cole Wynn is out of it, first time in his career.
Understandable though.
Yeah, Jack Leiter's 13. Our buddy Aiden Curry, 14, which is a little surprising, I thought. And then you go, there are a couple names who are from the draft who are selected in the top 10. Isaac Tiger, who's got the great name from, he was from a Kansas community college. He's a little bit older for a JC guy, but he's at 21. Alejandro Rosario from Miami, who throws hard, but not always sure where it's going, but they're betting on upside there. 24, Skylar Hales went to Santa Clara. He's the fourth-round pick, and he got paid over slot. He's at 26. And then Caden Scarborough, who is the sixth-round pick, a prep from Florida, he's in at 28. Mitch Bratt, who didn't pitch a lot last year, still hanging on at 29. So Abby Ortiz, 16. He wasn't even on the – top 40 probably last year, but he had such a big year.
He's jumped up a lot. In fact, MILB Pipeline has him as the number four first base prospect in baseball.
Yeah, that's something else. And he was at the ballpark Thursday when we saw Adrian and Ben Baruti, who was in the Rangers front office, brought him up and introduced him to Pudge Rodriguez because they're both Puerto Ricans. And Pudge was in the middle of an interview, but he shook his hand and, like, you'd think Abby Ortiz had just met Jesus. I mean, it was just a look on his face, and it was pretty cool. So, and they probably met before, but it was neat. It was neat to see that. So, anyway, but that's down in the bus leagues. A lot going on. There's going to be some guys in.
I'm going to get my top 20 list together. I'm getting ready to start rolling that out. Everyone knows my rules. You cannot have ever played one inning, or even one at bat in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So. There are some people that are on everyone's list that are not on my list.
So that would eliminate Owen White.
That would. There and might
it
be
would,
a guy.
It eliminates Evan Carter.
I was going to say, there might be a guy at the top of that list who is not eligible anymore.
Well, you got to explain that so that people don't think you're an idiot.
Yeah, so everyone doesn't think that. You cannot have played one day in the major leagues or you are not eligible.
Okay.
So that's always the way I do my list. I roll them out five at a time. We're probably going to get rolling on that in the next week or so.
Oh, all right.
I've got an initial list together, and I have to toy with my head a little bit there and see if I want to change my mind about a couple of them.
Okay.
All right, but we're going to get that thing rolling out, guys. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Bruce Bochy for stopping down. Any more?
Anything? No, I'm good.
Thanks to Bruce Bochy for stopping down and taking time to be with us. Get out to Rangers Caravan. That's going to be a fun time. Thanks to everybody that came to the live show. We really had a blast. Thanks to Odyssey for taking a chance on us. That's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, this is episode 105. We're kicking it into gear right now. We're getting ready for spring training that's coming up. We're going to be out there. But until next time, we will see you at the yard.